everyone, I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today, I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, everyone. Welcome. Thanks for joining me today. Today's program is all about how to get rid of negative thoughts. Because did you know that each of us has 60 to 70,000 thoughts a day? And sadly, it's the negative ones that have the biggest impact on you, your health, and your mood. Negative thoughts damage your life, your happiness, and your relationships. And I have a wonderful guest who I'm very excited to talk to today about how to get rid of those negative thoughts. Aura Nadrich is a certified life coach and mindfulness meditation teacher. She is also the author of the book, Says Who, How One Simple Question Can Change the Way You Think Forever. She is also a speaker, writer, and featured HuffPost blogger, and she lives with her husband and two sons in Los Angeles. Now, I don't know Aura personally, but a colleague of mine thought that she would be a wonderful guest on this program. So I'm really excited to chat with her today. I was also in Los Angeles last weekend giving a presentation in Ojai, California. So I wish we would have met. So today, we're going to meet on this radio program. So welcome to the program, Aura. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Terry. Thank you so much for having me. And I wish I knew you were in Ojai.
I know. Hey, you know Ojai?
I do. I love Ojai. It would have been so great to meet if you, you know, if you had happened to come to LA or yes. Next time you come to LA, let's definitely make that happen.
That would be wonderful because I love Ojai. It's in the mountains.
Me too.
It's calming, right? It's beautiful. Perfect weather, blue sky. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful. I love California, honestly. So tell us, Aura, what inspired you to be a life coach?
Well, you know, I've always been a seeker and I've always been a helper, if you will. You know, I've been a very reflective person wanting to know, you know, what we're doing here. I mean, I even think as a young girl, I was a bit of an existentialist pretty early on. But I love helping people. And it just is something that inspires me, you know, to do what I can to help people not suffer as much, you know. And I had a very long psychospiritual path on my journey and learned a lot along the way. And, you know, when I decided to become a life coach, I felt that that would be a perfect thing to do, to be able to then, you know, professionally help people understand themselves better and certainly their thinking mind better.
And what kinds of clients do you see? And do you see them one-on-one or do you do group kinds of activities?
I do both. I mean, even before I put my shingle out as a certified life coach, I had two women's groups. One which I started really young. I was in my early 20s and I started a women's group with a lot of what I called my spiritual elders, women that were older than me that had a lot to impart and teach me. Many years later, I created another women's group. So I love the group thing
right.
a lot and plan on doing it again. And then I have the one-on-one clients. And, you know, it's really an array of different people who are both men and women, even though I've worked so closely with women, with the women's group, as I just described, but that, you know, it's people from all different areas of life.
Yeah, give us a story or an example of someone who might come to you as a client, Aura.
You know, that's an interesting question for me, and I'll tell you why, because I feel that what I have to offer up is not so much just your, you know, I, as somebody who was in Jungian analysis for many, many, many years and value it tremendously, right. I'm not a psychoanalyst. I'm not somebody who is going to, you know, maybe stay with you for a very long time to uncover you know, your past and things that maybe you went through in your past, although we can cover that. But I consider myself somebody who meets you in present time, meets you with where you're at right now. And what is it that you want to realize? What is it that you want to actualize? What is it that you want to manifest in your life right now moving forward? There are obstacles that sometimes are linked to our past, which can keep us stuck from doing the very things that I just mentioned. So that's where I can help you. I can help you be with what's going on right now.
Well, you know, somebody said to me the other day, because we were talking about this difference between a coach and a therapist, and I happen to be a therapist as well, Aura. But the person that I was speaking to said that, similar to what you just said, that a coach helps you in the present and even helps you plan for the future. Mm-hmm. And a therapist works with the past to show you how it may affect the present, mm-hmm. and then go on into the future. So it's very similar to what you said, that yes. people are coming to you as a coach and saying, here's where I am currently, here's my obstacle, here's my challenge, help me get through it, and so then I can go into the future. Now, you also, though, are a mindfulness meditation teacher. Now, I'm sure listeners have heard what the word mindfulness means, or they've heard it before, but help us, me, understand what you mean by a mindfulness meditation teacher.
Well, I consider myself a mindfulness teacher first and foremost, and I combine that because mindfulness and meditation are very one and the same in many ways. You have to be present to meditate. You have to, you know, take yourself into that state to, you know, consciously make an effort to quiet the mind. Mindfulness, which really can cover every single minute of our lives, is to me where it's so important to understand that that means, in the most simple way, being present, being in the present moment, like we are right now, where you and I are present in this conversation. Right. Being present with total awareness and hopefully something to learn and to grow and evolve into with non-judgment and self-love, acceptance. And this is a practice. This is a discipline. Mindfulness, by the way, is a quality that each and every one of us has but doesn't necessarily use, even though we can trace it back 2,500 years ago to the Buddha. You know, we all have that nature within us, if you will. We just need to learn how to cultivate it and then to use it to enhance our lives.
And do you use it in your current life, your personal life?
I certainly do.
How so?
You know, someone said to me recently, you know, Aura, because I speak so much about self-awareness and I, as a mindfulness teacher, am about to do a very exciting weekly class called The Journey Within, and they said to me, oh, it's so hard to be self-aware all the time. Mm-hmm. It's exhausting to be so conscientious of ourselves. And I said, yes, that's true. It is tiring, but boy, to get to know yourself better through observation and through awareness, what you get out of it is so rewarding. So for me, when you ask me that question, do I practice mindfulness? Yes, I do. I have developed that practice very strongly to the point where I'm aware when I'm slipping out of it. And that's what I want people to understand and hopefully get to, that when you start to develop that practice in yourself, you're going to start to become so good at it that you're going to be aware of when you become less mindful.
And so do you get up every morning then and say, I'm going to do it for 5 or 10 minutes? Or is this something that is, you know, done throughout your entire day?
Well, again, such a great question, Terry, because, you know, I know even as a meditation teacher that there's so many people out there that don't meditate. They don't know how to meditate. They might not even want to meditate. And I want to include everybody. I'm so inclusive. It's like I want to go, no. Don't be, you know, disappointed or don't give up so quickly. Here's how you can connect to it in a very easy way. And I say, just check in with yourself. Well, how do you do that? Mm-hmm. Even if it means before you get out of bed, let's just start with that, because that's the very first thing. From the minute we wake up in the morning, we open up our eyes, we have a tendency to jump out of bed. You know, we're quick to get out. We're quick to be caught up in the quote-unquote doing and not value the being. And what does that mean and what does that look like? I say, take a minute. You know, because when people say to me, oh, or I don't have time to meditate, I'm starting to take meditation out of the equation. I say, check in with yourself. And what does that mean? Close your eyes. And even if it means just focusing on your breath or putting your hand on your heart and feeling your chest rising up and down, or just being aware of the breath, or being in gratitude about waking up alive.
Right. You know, I love that, Aura. I love that because even me, I'm thinking about this morning when I woke up, I was already thinking, okay, at 8 o'clock I have to do this. Am I going to be ready for this at 9? And so what you're saying, listeners, listen carefully, what you're saying is even if it's 1 minute to say or to check in, and I like that, check into your body, your breath, put your hand on your heart, and not think about what you're going to do or what you have to do or what you should do. You notice I said all of those, but where you are now in the present.
Yes. And what I want to say about that, Terry, is let's just say you have to get somewhere. You know, let's be realistic. There are people that work and they have to get on the freeway and they have to get to their jobs and they're already in that mindset. I get it. But you may stop at a red light. You may be using public transportation. You may be in an Uber. You can do that wherever you are to catch up to that at any time in your day. It's checking in with your core center. It's checking in with self. How am I doing? How am I feeling? Let me take a moment just to breathe. The sky isn't falling. I'm okay. I'm good. And even if there's something that's weighing on you, be the observer. Be with it. Okay, I'm going to get through this. This is a difficult moment. I'm going to get through it. I want people to check in with themselves. It's so important.
And even if it's just a minute, you're saying, so it doesn't have to be the meditation of 30 or 60 minutes a day. Take time during your day for that minute. Now, if we do that, Aura, and since this is a program on relationships, how do you think that's going to affect the relationship with me, but also my relationship with others?
Again, such a great question, because when we are able to be mindful with ourselves and check in with ourselves, we can then carry that over into our relationships. When we're scattered, when we're hurried, when we're distracted, we're going to carry that into our relationships. You know, I teach a lot on mindful relationships. I've written many articles on that. That's why starting with yourself, checking in, how present am I? How aware am I? Am I being mindful? When we do that, then we communicate better in our relationships. We are present. We're not, you know, distracted and then talking hurry to our partner or walking out the door quickly and not making eye contact and saying, hi, I see you. I'm connecting with you. I love you. Have a great day. We'll connect more later. You know, we need to connect mindfully and again, starting with us, and that gets carried over into our relationships.
I love that. And I work with a lot of clients who still have a lot of emotional baggage in the past to a previous relationship, and they're not able to be mindful or in the present because they're still thinking about the past instead of connecting, checking in, as you said, to themselves so that they can be fully present and see the people who are around them, the available people, who they need, who they want, who is similar to them. I like that. And I do think it affects our relationship. So now we're talking today about checking in and finding out probably that we have a lot of negative thoughts in our mind. Like, I can't do that. I'm not good enough. It's never going to happen to me. I don't deserve that. So first of all, why do you think we have all those negative thoughts, and why are they still there in my mind or our minds?
You know, I really think it's just part of the human condition. I mean, I think that we, you know, maybe it's left over from this old part of our thinking mind, you know, maybe from being the hunters and gatherers, and that we were, you know, stepped out into the world with that sort of fear-based thought of like, oh, a saber-toothed tiger is going to jump out or could jump out at any moment and attack me. You know, I don't know. I think that it's certainly part of our thinking process, and that those thoughts will come up again and again. My book says Who offers up what to do when those negative thoughts come up, how to navigate those waters so that we are not at the effect of the negative thoughts that we will think. And by the way, Terry, we all have that negative self-talk. We all have an inner critic to varying degrees. You know, for some of us, it encourages us to do better. And for some of us, it obliterates us. And it sabotages the very thing that we want to do. So it's, again, being mindful of that when that inner critic voice comes up, to say, ah, there's that negative voice trying to bring me down and tell me that I'm not good enough.
And I think you're right. We all have those negative thoughts. And we might have 20 positive thoughts. But then if one negative thought comes in, that's the one we focus in on. That's the one that affects us. That's the one that we obsess over, even though we have the 20 billion even other thoughts. So how can we get rid of those negative thoughts? Or give us some tips, some strategies about how to get rid of the negative thoughts.
Well, with Says Who, the method that I created for working with those negative thoughts, again, they're going to come up, and what are you going to do when that happens? And so I really begin the whole questioning, the inquiry, if you will, of knowing your thoughts better, especially the ones that are trying to get our attention. And by the way, they are trying to get our attention. They have something to tell us, something important and valuable other than just the blatant criticism that we're hearing in our mind. And that is to be the observer, not the reactor. And that, again, is a discipline. It's a practice. Being the observer can help you. It's as if you're standing outside of yourself as a witness, and you can say, oh, okay, here's a negative thought trying to do its, you know, wreak havoc with me. That's where you begin. You begin with the awareness, the mindfulness of the thought that is not serving your well-being. Once you can identify it, once you can note it, then you can start the work, which is the Says Who method, of questioning it and challenging it so it doesn't stay active in your mind.
So give us an example. So let's say, Aura, that I wake up and I think I'm not good at what I do, or I hate how I look, or even the pain in my leg means I'm not going to be able to do what I want today, okay? How do we observe and then question it? Is I hear those two things that I have to focus in on.
Well, the observer, which is, again, if you can just, you know, catch it, because sometimes the thing is we get caught up so quickly by a negative thought that the next thing you know, we're reacting to it. You know, our heart starts to race, or we want to yell at somebody. You know, the words leave our mouth so quickly we can't roll them back in our mouth. So the key really is every thought is connected to an emotion. Sometimes you're feeling the emotion, the stirrings, and you don't know why. So it's, again, why mindfulness is so valuable. It's like being aware. So let's just say, for example, a thought comes in like, oh my God, you know, I'm never going to finish this project. I'm such an idiot. I'm such a loser.
Okay. You know, very common situation or negative thought. Absolutely. Yes.
Right. So let's just say someone came in and said that to you. And they walked and they said, you know what, you're never going to finish that project. You're such a loser. You know, you're useless or whatever. There's a couple of different ways you can do, you know, can handle that. Okay. They walk in and you can say, huh, okay, look at this person just walked in and said this horrible thing to me. I don't have to buy into that. They don't own my thoughts. They're not the ruler of me. I'm going to look at them and go, you may think that, but I don't have to respond. I don't have to believe it, and I don't have to react to it.
That's what I'm thinking now. So you understand that they are thinking they have control over you, and you're saying, I don't have control. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, you're saying, why would I give my power away to this person Or let's make it subjective. To me, I'm telling myself something and going into the observer mode, if you will, to say, I don't have to react to this thought. I don't have to believe it's true. Let me be with it. Let me deconstruct it. Let me find out if it's even real or it's not. You know, to say to yourself, even if you have, a discomfort in your leg, as you described, you have a shooting pain or something, look how far we can take that thought. You know, people go into total fear zone. Oh my God, I'm going to become paralyzed. Oh my God, there's something wrong with me. You know, people suddenly go into a tremendous fear state rather than going, okay, I'm feeling this sensation, which is something that you experience in meditation. You encourage feeling sensations. Oh, I feel this discomfort. Okay, let me rub my leg. Let me move through it. Maybe I need to take a nice soothing bath so that I can feel better. We need to know how to make ourselves feel better as opposed to just quickly feeding ourselves all sorts of more negative thoughts or fear-based thoughts and go down this rabbit hole or this downward spiral where then we are at the effect of those negative thoughts that grow. Do you know what I mean?
So it's almost like you're almost saying then, Aura, you want to stop, just like you told me when I get up out of bed to spend a minute, is to stop, observe, check into my body or check into what's happening and look at the reality of what's being said to me or what I'm thinking, right?
Yes, because we accept our negative thoughts so readily and we disconnect from the creator of that thought. We are creating our thoughts all the time. And I work with so many people where there's this disconnect, like, oh, or I feel so taken over by my thoughts. We allow ourselves to be taken over. So again, if you can stop, observe, note, and then work through it, because a thought can tell us something, you know, I'm never going to amount to something, I'm a loser, I'll never get hired, I'll never find my soulmate, I'll never get married. Says who? You know, that's the question.
So help me, what? So you said stop, observe, note, and what is number four?
And start the questioning process.
And then start the questioning.
You know, which is the seven questions that I propose, is you have to begin the inquiry. You have to question the negative thought to find out if it's even real or not. You know, experiencing a pain in your leg doesn't mean that you're going to die. You have to get to the bottom of it. You have to question it. It could mean that you have a pain in your leg because maybe it's a cramp. And you can soothe it, and this too shall pass, and maybe I can put some ointment on it that will make it feel better. I believe it will. You know, it goes into beliefs. What we tell ourselves become beliefs, and that becomes the reality.
Now, Aura, we only have a few minutes left. I want to just recap those four things that you said, and then at the end of all my interviews, I ask my guests a personal question. So first, when we have a negative thought or someone says something to us, you're saying stop, observe, note, and question.
Yeah.
Correct. Good. I love that. And I love what you're saying about the checking in. Now, as I said, at the end of all my interviews, and we only have 2 minutes left, I ask my guests a personal question so that we can get to know them just a little bit better, Aura. And I always ask if you could invite someone to dinner, dead or alive, celebrity or relative, who would it be? And who would it be for you, Aura?
Oh, my goodness, Terry.
I know, it's a good question,
well,
isn't it?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, two thoughts, and again, I want people to connect to their thoughts. Two thoughts came up for me. So many people that I would love to have at that table, but the first person that came to my mind was Einstein.
Oh, I like that. Einstein. And is there a question that you would ask him?
Oh, my goodness.
What would you observe?
I would say and question the universe outside of ourselves and the universe within ourselves. Is it one and the same?
I love that, Aura. Thank you. And thank you so much for joining us, Aura. I love talking to you.
Thank you, Terry.
You're welcome, and you're doing great, great work. And I personally can't wait to try to get rid of my negative thoughts and the power that they may have over me. And I encourage listeners, you too, to do the same thing. Now, the best way to connect with Aura is on her website, which is auranadrich.com. You can also follow her on Facebook at Ask Aura and on Twitter at Aura Nadrich. And as always, thanks for listening, everyone. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help your relationships be the best they can be. My website, Dr. Terry, theLoveDoctor.com, where I provide you with simple, practical, science-based relationship advice. So until next time, here's to your healthy, happy relationships.